unmistakable, the sound of Glenn Miller. Hello, I'm Jack Cullen with a very nostalgic edition of the Sunday Special. I've wanted to do this for a long time. My own tribute to Glenn Miller. Is it really 27 years ago? I can recall it vividly. I remember being in the Navy at the time, crossing the Atlantic, and I think it was around about just shortly before Christmas of 1944 that the announcement came on that Glenn Miller was missing. I even remember some of the original announcements, and you'll hear them all too. We have quite a program lined up for you, a lot of rare things of Glenn Miller that you've probably never heard before from our, let's say it, our rather vast show business library here. Excerpts of radio broadcasts, interviews that Glenn Miller gave, and especially talks with people that knew Glenn Miller, people that worked with him. Are you ready to come back? Let's remember. Portions of this, by the way, are taken from a BBC broadcast that was on the air many years ago, again on the occasion of Miller's disappearance.
Taking off with two companions from an air base near Bedford in England, he has never been seen or heard from since. Tonight, we hear about him as he was. This, then, is a tribute to Glenn Miller. From Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force, on June 6, 1944, came these words from the Commander-in-Chief.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you.
Almighty God,
the President of the United States,
our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
6.5 months later, this announcement was heard.
Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Forces announced that an aircraft in which Major Glenn Miller was a passenger disappeared on December the 15th on a routine flight to Paris. No trace of the missing aircraft has yet been found.
And so it begins.
Thank you.
Glenmiller's first real big hit, his own theme song, as a matter of fact. Actually, they were betting on the other side, a thing called the Sunrise Serenade. It was April the 4th of 1939. Needless to say, Miller had been around long before that. He served his apprenticeship with Red Nichols and Ben Pollock and a lot of the bands back in the 1920s. He had several orchestras before he found the right format, as you probably know. In just 1 minute after this message, I'm going to let you hear the first record that ever bore the name Glenn Miller and His Orchestra. And strange enough, it was back as far as 1935. But first... And now back to more of a tribute to Glenn Miller. Glenn Miller. In the 1920s, there's a man that remembered him very well. He worked for Ben Pollock at the time. Years after his passing, they had a concert in Pasadena in which disc jockey Gene Norman brought on stage the man that first employed Glenn Miller. Listen.
You know, Glenn Miller's success was really so sudden and so spectacular that lots of folks were inclined to ascribe it to luck, the breaks. But even Glenn himself knew better. Now, don't think I'm a product of luck or breaks or anything like that, he once said. I've worked very hard ever since I came out of the University of Colorado. I've played the trombone in so many orchestras, I just can't simply remember them all. You see, Glenn put in many years as a relatively obscure sideman and arranger before his sudden burst into fame. And after 2 years of college, he went to California and played in Ben Pollock's band. Young and unknown Benny Goodman was also in that Benny Pollock band. And very briefly tonight, we'd like to pay our respects to the maestro himself, Mr. Ben Pollock. Let's have a hand for Ben Pollock. Ben, would you come out for a minute? There he is, Glenn. Well, Ben, can you actually remember the very first time you met Glenn Miller?
I certainly can. It was about October of 1925. I was looking for a trombone player. We were going back east, and the fellow I had couldn't go, and I was looking for a trombone player, and they brought a tall, skinny kid to me and says that he arranged, played nice trombone, so we had him sit in the band for a number, and he read the spots, and he played swell, and sang a little jazz to him. He wrote it out in three-part harmony, and that was the arrangement, so we hired him.
Well, tell me, Ben, did you have any special feeling about Glenn when you first met him?
Well, I didn't really get to know Glenn until we got to Chicago and really sat down and started to dope out things, and Glenn was a perfectionist. Glenn used to rehearse his arrangements. We'd take one tune and probably rehearse them for 3 hours.
In remembering Glenn Miller, and you knew him from the very beginning, is there any special recollection that you have that stays with you?
Of course, Glenn was with the band until the latter part of 28, and he left the band in New York City, but he arranged for me for years after that, practically until he started his own band. But I do recollect one thing. I saw Glenn with his own band at the Nicolet Hotel in Minneapolis. I followed him in. And Glenn was standing up in front of this band, leading the band, good old sourpuss style, you know. Didn't have a job to go to, following this job. And we got up in the room. Charlie Spivak happened to be coming through at that time, and three of us up in the room. And I says, Glenn, why don't you just give up the band business? This is a tough racket. This is a tough thing. He says, well, I got 10 days of play in Boston. He says, I got 8 days off. I got to pick up a drummer in Detroit. I don't have the money to fly him in or have him take a train. I got to drive to Detroit, pick up the drummer, go to Boston, play 10 days. He says, then I'm going to quit. I says, what do you want it for? You can arrange. He had standing offers to arrange for all the big bands. So I left him out in front of the hotel. He put on these great big fur gloves. It was about 10 below zero, and he got into this truck with all the instruments, and here he is driving to Detroit to pick up a drummer to play 10 days in Boston. That was it. And in Boston, that's where he met up with Cy Schribben, and went on from there to really do the great big things. And that's the thing I remember most of Glenn, feeling sorry for Glenn. I was wrong again.
Thank you, Ben Pollock, for being with us tonight.
Thank you, James.
Bye.
What you're hearing now is the first record ever made by Glenn Miller in which his own name was on the label. This was as far back as 1935. He hadn't yet discovered what we call the Glenn Miller sound. The date on this one is April the 25th of 1935. You're hearing Glenn Miller's first record under his own name. ¶¶ vocalist is Smith Ballou.
If there is a Cinderella looking for a steady fellow, listen to my serenade in blue. Toss it night upon my pillow, mournful as a weeping willow, haunted by my serenade in blue. Why must I go on dreaming of an imaginary love? Wish I had someone to sing to, one that I could kiss and cling to. No one hears my serenade in blue.
Charlie Spivak and Bunny Berrigan were part of that first band of Glenn Miller's on April the 25th of 1935. About the Miller sound and about his first big record for RCA, you'll hear that after we pause for, as they say, this news from one of our sponsors.